Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 2 good hours in the books. 1 hour still to go in the big show. It's Tyler in for Nick. It's Barry. It's Joel. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. Sigmund Bloom joined us with some great fantasy info.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff. What's on your mind?
I was looking just at the injury report for the Texans-Bengals game, if you want it. The full report, Fuller, Griffin, Anderson, Blue, and Cushing are all out. Drake Kirkpatrick, Sean Williams, both questionable in that secondary for the Bengals. Michael Johnson, defensive end, and Troy Hopkins, guard, both out. And then John Ross, wide receiver, questionable for the game.
Now John Ross is in.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Fedorowicz is out on IR.
These are guys that I think when they'll put the guys on here for as far as out or whatever.
Anderson, Ellington.
Yeah, these are guys that'll be back.
Yeah.
So, Astros, real quick.
We get to that, we tease this, so we should probably get to this. But last night at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting occurrence. And then the players themselves recognizing it enough to make sure that it was noticed and got its just due. Chris Sale on the mound playing the Orioles. And down the green monster comes a sign that I guess up to 8 fans had draped down the green monster, and it said, racism.
Racism is as American as baseball.
Correct.
Is what it said.
Yeah.
And I think some people didn't know how to take that
at
first.
Correct.
Like I was joking about earlier, you know, with Nancy when she called yesterday about Trump. I think it was misconstrued because even my wife was like, well, that's not very good that they would allow that. And I was like, no, babe. I think what the point is, if you remember a while back, there were some issues with Boston and Adam Jones of the Orioles and some racial slurs being yelled at him. And then later, in the next game or whatever, Boston gave the rest of the fans gave him a standing ovation. And
right.
So I think that this was more saying that racism has been around in America as long as baseball, and it's a part of our fabric, unfortunately. Not in a good way. Not saying that racism is American. They're saying it's a part of our fabric is what the sign was saying. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people took this sign incorrectly from the intended meaning.
Yeah, so essentially what happened on that point, because I'm with you, people took that – like. Nancy probably took that as exactly like.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Nancy's like, you're dang right.
See, that's what those radio guys don't understand. But as it turns out, after the game, it said and the writer for the Boston Globe put out there that there was originally about 8 people involved who had this idea. Those 8 people came from various organizational groups in the Boston area, most of the groups affiliated with racial justice causes. And the banner came in response to the racist comments at the beginning of the season at Fenway, as you spoke of, Barry, regarding Adam Jones. Overall, we see Boston continually priding itself as kind of liberal, not a racist city. Really? And are reminded also constantly that it's actually an extremely segregated city. It has been for a long time, and that no white people can avoid the history of racism, essentially. So we did this banner as a gesture towards that to have a conversation about that.
Okay.
I have African-American friends of mine that went to a game at Fenway this year and said it is incredible how racist it still is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know, though, that I'm – I don't know if that's okay to do the banner. I get the point, but if this was the other side of the fence, if this was the alt-right, are you okay with them doing a banner? Because that's the thing you have to look at. You have to give both sides the same and fair and just treatment. So you can't say that it's okay for this group, whether you agree with them or not. You can't be okay with this group coming out and unfurling this banner. Because, I mean, personally, I agree with the message.
It's a very valid question.
But I don't know if I agree with them being allowed to, or which they weren't. They were quickly, you know, scuttled away and the banner was
taken up. They were
ejected.
The banner was confiscated.
Which I think was the right move. You know what I mean? Because, okay. Yeah. Because, again, if this was an alt-right person or an alt-right group that came in and said, you know, white people in this country aren't getting a fair shake or whatever the alt-right message is, which I don't really know because I don't pay attention to them. But
you
whatever the
nailed it on the head.
Did I?
Yeah.
Whatever the alt-right message is, if that banner's there, I don't want to see that at the baseball game at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
From the fans or whatever. So I think that they got fair treatment. Okay. Because I think, again, if this was
they have a rule.
So I'm okay with the way they handle it.
They already have a rule regarding the signs and the banners, and especially the Green Monster, and doing all those things. So they were in their right to be able to do what they did. They ejected the people, and they took away the banner. They confiscated the banner. My thing was more about the wording on the banner, too.
Yeah, that was the
unfortunate part.
If you're
going to do this and make the statement that you want to make, and obviously it did make across the nation, and the coverage that it got, word it in such a way so that there is less confusion. Like, whose side are you on anyway? You know, I thought the wording could have been better. And like you, I was talking about it. Lisa was at work, and I was talking about it with Lisa's mom this morning, and she said the same thing. She goes, a lot of people are going to take that the wrong way.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, for sure. And again, as we say, you can't tell tone in text and or reading in text dialogue. So that's part of it as well. But I think you may really pose a very valid question.
Well, not my question, my point.
You posed a very good point about, would it? But again, the question being, too, would it be acceptable if the shoe was on the other foot?
And no. And I think that was handled appropriately. You don't want that kind of distraction from fans during a game. So I think they handled it well.
You know, Sale, who's a very quick worker,
yeah,
actually stepped off the mound.
Yeah.
And gave it its just due so that the banner would hang as long as possible before they actually brought it down to draw attention to it. Adam Jones even said he appreciated that because he knows how fast Sale likes to work.
Yeah, you know, and somebody texted and said they were playing the Athletics, not the Orioles. No, what I was referencing was earlier in the year.
Correct.
When the Red Sox were playing the Orioles and fans were chanting racist things at Adam Jones in the outfield. I wasn't referencing the game last night.
And the writers caught up with Jones to ask him what he thought.
Was it just one guy that first time, or was it multiple people?
I don't think he specified. I think there was one guy's voice was louder than the rest. But
yeah,
you know.
I thought they pulled that guy's season tickets, though, right?
I would hope so.
If they were able to identify him, I would hope so.
I think he got banned or
good.
Something like that.
Because we were talking in our production meeting. This just happened at Ford Field in Detroit this weekend, where, speaking of fans getting their season tickets revoked, a season ticket holder for the Lions happened to be standing for the national anthem next to two African-American individuals who were sitting, and he, on social media, put a picture and also used the N-word to describe them. The Lions were able to identify who did it, obviously, from the account, and then that he was a season ticket holder, and he's now no longer a season ticket holder for the Detroit Lions. So good for the Lions.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yep. Well handled.
Yeah.
A couple things, baseball related still, since we're in that arena. The Usual Suspects needs a roadshow for Minute Maid with the whole team to give them some juice. Everyone knows.
Good idea.
Everyone knows we're the good luck charms.
We're the mojo.
Astros. Yeah. Yeah. So I would agree with that. Can we start a petition to make Peacock a starter? I don't think you'll need to. I think if things keep going the way they're going.
Process of elimination,
yeah.
Whether it be injury or blow up starts like last night.
Letdowns, yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to see the bird, and the bird will be the word, and Peacock will be where you want him to be very quickly.
Frank at 55 said tonight is the battle for last place between the Bengals and the Texans.
Oh, I thought he was going for it again.
No. No. and somebody chimed in about offensive line being the problem, not running backs. I would agree, but I think that when you have an offensive line as bad as the Texans, you need a guy that can get some yards after contact. And Miller isn't that guy. I think, you know, Deontay Foreman gives you a better chance of that.
Look, we've discussed it. The number one top priority for this team and the biggest issue to solve is the offensive line. But there, let's be real. There's more than one problem. You know, you could go and say, well, you know, between Watt and Clowney, they only had two tackles. That's a problem. Defense, that's a problem.
Yep.
Receivers, that's a problem. We can go over and over and over. Yes, running back. We'd like to see some diversity between Thunder with some lightning. You know, so Lamar Miller's supposed to be elusive. Let's see if Foreman can pound the rock a little bit.
Yeah, because in my article today, I said basically I could go unit by unit and break this whole game down. But the bottom line for this game to me for the Texans is Watson can't make stupid mistakes and turn the ball over, whether it be fumbles or interceptions. And they're going to have to buy him a little time in order for that to happen. But he can't turn the ball over, and they've got to establish the run. That's the two things. And I don't think you're going to do that with Lamar Miller behind a porous line.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, so there you go. All right, so we still got plenty more to go in the big show. We're going to get some picks, I believe, because the Texans play tonight. So we'll get some picks out of the way. The Nick picks, as the case may be, and even though Nick skipped, we covered for him. So we'll get that in. And go over
those.
By the
way, his picks suck, of course.
Well, that's not shocking.
Just wanted to get that out of here.
That's not shocking.
Okay, no.
We've already conversed with Nick, too, to be able to tell him that he is going to have to document his entire weekend with pictures, not just for the benefit of Barry and myself, but he's supposed to tweet them as well so you guys can be in on the fun and the shenanigans and the lack thereof, because he's not getting hookers and he's not getting laid, Barry.
Wink, just wink, you know. Wink, right. Wink.
So we got more to get to. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The gifts that keep on giving, The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. That means, in this case, love and laughter with Barry.
Yeah, I have a show, really big show, tonight at the Houston Improv. It's called Couples Therapy, and I was meaning to give away some tickets, so I think I'll give away three pairs of tickets right now. So we'll make it real simple. Tonight, it's called Couples Therapy. It's at the Houston Improv. Me, four other comics, including Andy Huggins, Alan Adams, Bryson Brown, and I think Katie McGee. And then what we do on this Couples Therapy show is after we all do our sets, there's this panel with the comics where people ask us advice on, you know, sex or relationships, or usually it's about sex, like, oh, how, heck, you know, where do you find the G-spot or whatever. So we answer those questions on stage, and it's a blast. It's a great date night. So if you have a spouse, a significant other, somebody that you want to take out tonight, the show starts at 7:30, Houston Improv. We'll make it real simple. The first three callers, 713-780-3776, first three callers will get a pair of tickets to tonight's show. 713-780-3776. All I need is your name and your email. I will leave your name at the front box office at the Houston Improv. You walk up, you give them your name. It's you plus one. They let you in. That's it. It's easy as pie. So first three callers, 713-780-3776. Have some fun. Don't call and win if you're not going to come. I can't stand. I'm always giving away tickets to shows, and then like half the people show up because they're like, well, I won, but you know, then why'd you call if you're not going to go? Don't do that to people. It's not nice.
What if Gilbert comes and brings his bike?
Anyways.
By the way, do you know what happened on this day in history in Major League Baseball? Just as a quick...
Someone hit a home run.
Maybe someone hit two. Maybe two guys hit two and became a first.
Richard Hidalgo.
Nope.
Bigger
than that.
Like fatter? Or
no, bigger names
like
in baseball.
No? Okay. Who? Yeah. What happened?
On this day... Back in 1990, Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. became the first father and son duo to hit home runs in the same game. September 14th, 1990, they actually did it back-to-back against the California Angels.
Neat.
Griff Jr., man, one of my favorites of all time.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Oh, boy.
not only did he have one of my favorite shoes growing up,
I agree.
I think it was his second release.
About that,
his
yeah.
second release. But he was one of my favorite baseball players to watch play. He had fun. He could ball his ass off. He could play defense. Yeah, just one of my all-time favorites.
And you
up.
Never, ever, ever questioned him for steroids.
Nope. He was
just like
was
Barry
legit.
Bonds
hey,
before
yo.
He took steroids.
Tyler, you're getting a ton of love on the text line.
On the tunes, right?
Somebody said, I'm digging the Kings of Leon bump music to end the segment. That was at 3 o'clock. And then at 3:20, you got another one that says, Tyler has by far the best taste in music of all y'all dudes.
We don't get to tell you our taste in music. We do waybacks.
Well, no, yeah, that's true. We do waybacks, and sometimes it's difficult. I would be interested to see what 8 songs Tyler comes up with that are related to the name Sam.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Especially after Joel takes Sam Hunt and Sam Smith and Sam and Dave and
well,
Sammy
especially
Davis
you start
Jr.
talking about
and
Sam
Sammy
as
Hagar.
A producer counts.
Good luck after that.
Oh, yeah, Sammy Hagar?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sammy Hagar, Nick. Hey, this is a great song. I don't know who this Sammy Hagar is.
Sammy Hagar. Hey, did you guys... well, real quick, I wanted to talk about this John Jones thing. So he got popped.
Yeah, get that out of
he
the
He got
way.
Popped. His B-sample came back as you know, further proving that the A sample was correct and saying that he had cheated and used performance enhancing drugs. So he got popped. So they're wanting to reinstate Daniel Cormier as the champion. And Cormier came on Fox and talked about it. And he talked about, which I liked, he came out and basically said, well, he said this. We have the audio, right?
The California State Athletic Commission has overturned the bout to a no contest due to the failed test. So what does this mean for you, DC?
Well, I mean, you know, I talked to Andy Foster and then I was like, man, you know, I lost the fight. And as a competitor, that's how I felt. But then Dana White called me today and he said, if it's a no contest, then the fight didn't happen. He said, if one of you guys would have missed weight and right. he would have won the fight, you still would have kept the belt. He said, because of that, he goes, you know, the championship is getting returned to you. The fight is a no contest. If he cheated, he could not have fought and cheated and still won the fight. So, once again, I'm the UFC champion. Now, people will say stuff like, well, you got handed the belt. He cheated. And the reality is for me to say, I don't want this title when I was going to be in a championship fight anyways.
Right.
Financially, it's just a big difference if I don't fight as the champion opposed to fighting for a vacant title. I'm taking the belt.
I like it. I mean, I don't blame him. Because as the champion, you do get a bump in pay when you have pay-per-views, when you're headlining the main card. So I don't blame him. I don't begrudge him. And I like that he come out and said, look, I feel like I lost even if he did that. I don't feel like I'm the champion. But from a money, from a financial perspective, if it wasn't for that, all things being equal, I would turn down taking the belt back. But because it's a better payday, I'm going to do it. I have no problem with that. No problem whatsoever. Get your money, man. You didn't cheat. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got beat. But get that money. There's only one guy so far that's been able to do anything to Daniel Cormier, and he's cheated both times, whether you think it had a significant impact on the fight itself. Other than that, Daniel Cormier could beat anyone in this division. So I'm good with it. I don't know. Would you, Joel, would you go back and would you take the belt back after you had lost it in this scenario?
I think from a financial perspective, solely that would be the sole focus was, you know, yeah. Look, I don't want – it's a bad look that you get beat and then by default you get it back. But when it means financial gains for you, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I think it's the smart thing to do. And I think most people in that situation where it was like, yeah, okay. Because the thing is by coming out on Fox Sports 1, which is what that aired on, and saying, hey, look, I know this isn't my belt. I get it. I totally get it, and I would turn it down, but I need that paper. I'm good with that. I don't know. I don't have a problem with that. Did you see this thing? Are you a pro football focus guy?
No, I'm a pro football talk guy.
Okay. So there was this I like pro football
yes,
focus.
You do.
I do. And they because they grade out guys, they'll grade out, you know, everybody. One of the a player in the NFL isn't a fan. And I think it'll surprise you why he's not a fan, and it's not because he got a crappy grade either. So we can discuss that in the next segment.
There you have it. All right, so plenty more to get to, including in our last segment. We'll do our NFL picks for the week because we always do them coinciding with when the Texans play, and we all know they play tonight, so stay tuned for that as well. Nick has already texted us his picks with a K, not yes. his picks.
Yeah, he didn't text. Yeah, well, I don't need that pick.
Well,
somebody said I was trying to call for tickets tonight. This is my name and email. Well, you had to be the first three. You can't just text the show and say, hey, I didn't
get
tickets.
We already have three people.
So. Yeah, so we already have three? Okay. Nice try, though. Keep listening. I'll give away more. Shows coming up next week.
Keep going.
No.
Throw it to break.
Oh, all right. We'll be back right after this. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects with a half hour to go on the big show.
We do so many things well on this show, I believe, in my heart.
Yes.
But we are the worst at not talking when the producer goes hot. We're always getting caught. I know, but we're always getting caught.
And to be honest with you, it's a good thing because we're preparing things for the listeners, trying to give as much as possible to you guys. So we're conversing about what we need to talk about. But like, if you guys wanted to, and Nick, because we know he's slower than molasses anyway, but you really could at any time just say hot and we'd be dead in the water. Because there are times we're just pushing it to the exact brain, and then Nick will go, hot! And I'm like, oh, all right, I'll finish that later.
Yeah, we're bad at that. So I teased it before we went to break, this pro football focus thing. So this lineman for the Detroit Lions.
Detroit
Lions. Where's his name at? Damn it. Lang, T.J. Lang.
See, we were doing that in the break.
Yeah, guard T.J. Lang. Yeah, guard T.J. Lang.
Former Packer.
Yeah, so they were talking. He was on the Valenti show on 97.1, and he was talking about Pro Football Focus. Because if you don't know Pro Football Focus, what they'll do is they'll grade. They'll give every player a grade. They'll give, like, front sevens a grade. They'll give secondaries a grade. So they do a really good job of helping you understand. It's part of my prep work. I mean, I don't rely solely on Pro Football Focus because you can't rely just on one source, but I'll use it in conjunction with other things to prep, right? Because, I mean, let's be real. I'm not watching a lot of Arizona Cardinals games because I don't care. So I'll go out and prep on that stuff. But this is what Lang said about Pro Football Focus. He said, my opinion is there's no way you can possibly accurately grade offensive linemen if you haven't done the job before in your life. A lot of these guys, they're not qualified to be grading players. A lot of the stuff I realize is pretty basic, obvious information. If I clearly just got whooped and let up on a sack, you can say, yeah, that guy let up a sack. But they don't know anything about identification, the offensive lineman, or what the offensive linemen are supposed to do. They think if a guy blitzes off the edge, that's automatically the tackle's block. But a lot of times that's not the case. Mm-hmm. They've always graded me well, which I don't mind, but I still don't respect it. So, yeah, he's got they listed his grade in here, which was really high. He grades out really well.
Look,
but he's just like, yeah, it's just not good.
And here's the thing. The value's in the paycheck. He just got a new deal, got paid really, really well. Green Bay wanted him back. He's from Michigan. He went to the Lions. But fact of the matter is, everybody can grade you as however they want, but you're graded by the team that's willing to make a commitment like that and give you that financial stability based on the fact they know you can play. But he's absolutely right, because we were talking about it in our show prep.
Yep.
And we all said the same thing. Look, what you see on TV, you might point the finger squarely at a guy and you have no clue that that was a blocking scheme in which a pulling guard was supposed to pick up a linebacker and didn't come close and whiff.
Yeah, and that's what they talked about in the article, which is they said that, you know, there's you know, you don't know what the protection calls are at the line, or we don't when we're watching TV. And there's that only that line knows, really, and the quarterback and the people in that huddle. So it's hard to grade a guy out and say, well, this tackle missed the block when it was the guard's responsibility because the tackle was blocking down or inside. And so there's a lot of that that goes into it. And they also are bringing in coaches, Pro Football Focus, and former coaches, former players to go over their grades, especially on linemen and stuff, to make sure it's accurate. So at least they're trying to make it right. I mean, nothing's going to be foolproof. But I think at one point he even called it garbage, which is a little harsh according to, you know, the article. And I would say it is, because more often than not, based on opinion versus their grades, it's pretty close.
Did you see, on a very related note, Brett Phillips, Brewers outfielder, is questioning his own scouting grade as well.
Really?
After he made a 104-mile-an-hour throw from the outfield to nail somebody at home.
They said he had no arm?
Yeah, he was wondering. He tweeted out, he goes, "I think I can do better. How hard would I have to throw it next time to be given an 80 grade arm on the 20 to 80 scale?"
They think that this don't matter. Guys, look at that. Guys, they know.
Let me just say
something.
They
know.
Not only do they
the
look
Madden
at that stuff.
Ratings matter to them.
But here's the other thing. And I used to tell this to all the broadcasters that worked for me when I was doing this in the NBA. The bottom line is, these players listen too. So be aware of the fact that you can be critical of the players, but also be aware of the fact that both home and road, they go through film sessions. And in a lot of cases, because the coach used it as motivation, they leave the audio in. So just be prepared to defend yourself, because there's going to be a lot of times when you as a broadcaster call a guy out, and whether it's before or after the game on a film session, and they go, "Wait a minute. Who was that said that?"
Uh-huh.
And these guys who travel with them and got to get on the same airplane? Oh, it can get ugly. Let me just tell you this. For every David Price versus Dennis Eckersley that is publicized, there's plenty that aren't publicized that go down on a regular basis.
Yep. Yeah, that 100 and he had a 70 grade throwing arm, but that's the second hardest throw for an outfield assist since the StatCast era began.
Wow.
But StatCast only started at the start of the 2015 season. So,
but still,
even so, 104-mile-an-hour throws.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I love it, too. It's part of the broadcast that some people are numbers people, some people aren't. So you either are an analytics guy or you're an eye test guy. Hopefully you can see the value in both. But I do love on the broadcast when they tell you the exit velocity off the bat.
That's cool. It's different.
Yeah. Or when Blummer gives you the red light, yellow light, green light on outfield arms.
Yep. And then, like, when you're watching football, like, you'll see it tonight, I believe. They'll have their Pro Football Focus grades for each player when they put them on. I don't know if it's tonight, Monday night, or the Sunday night game.
I think it might be Sunday night broadcast.
Is it Sunday night? I know NBC.
That's neat. I have not seen that.
Yeah. But they'll put their Pro Football Focus grades on each player. So this is where it comes from. And, yeah, I mean, they're doing their part to be as accurate as possible. No one wants to give out bad information.
Right.
So.
All right, so we've got the picks coming up next. Yep. We've got NFL starting tonight. Speaking of one of those specialty nights, it's your Texans on TV tonight. So we'll do picks, and maybe we'll even try and squeeze in Clarence before we turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. Back in a minute.
For the block, boy. Take it rough.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of your favorite show, The Usual Suspects, as we continue to roll. We have our picks. Nick is in Vegas, but remotely, he has supplied us with his winners.
Yep.
We do not do the spreads, though we do discuss them, but we do just pick the outright winners. It is worth mentioning that last week I was dominant.
You did well last week.
Yep.
It's I don't know about worth mentioning, but you went 4-1 in NFL picks, 3-2.
And the only one I lost was the damn Texans.
Houston. Yeah, Nick and I both went 3-2. Real quick before we start,
I was undefeated
picks,
in college.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Several people asking, did we talk about Watson and Khalifa? Yeah, we mentioned that already.
Sure did.
Casino J said, Pro Football Focus and the Texans offense of line have a lot in common. Nobody knows the blocking schemes. That's great. Text of the day right there,
Casino
J. Text
of the day, that's right.
All right. Let's do these picks.
Love the music.
Let's do it.
All right.
So All right.
You got the games.
Game number one. We'll do Texans, Bengals last.
Okay.
So game number one, near and dear to your heart,
mm-hmm.
the Green Bay Packers at the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons favored by 3 at home.
Who's Nick got?
Nick picks the Packers.
Who's Barry got?
Barry also picks the Packers on the road. Joel, I don't even, it wasn't even a question. I already put you down for Green Bay.
I told you guys, I don't feel good about these games like this.
Wow, wow,
wow. And you know what? And we talk about momentum, like with the Hurricane, with the Texans and all that home field advantage last week. This is the first game for the Falcons in the new Mercedes Dome. That's why I don't feel good about it.
All right.
But are there trap games in the NFL?
I think there can be.
Yeah.
But strategically, yeah. I will take
when there's only 16 of them, is there?
I'm taking Green Bay.
I'm sure. All right, who you got, Tyler?
I'll go Green Bay.
Green Bay? All right. So it's unanimous.
Okay.
All right. Second game, we're picking Tennessee mm-hmm. on the road at Jacksonville. Tennessee favored by 1.5. Nick takes Tennessee. Who you got?
I take Tennessee.
You take Tennessee as well?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going Jacksonville.
You Same. Better.
Ah. You're you going too. Jacksonville yeah. as well? Okay.
Okay.
Smart pick by you.
Not Tyler. Really.
Kansas City at home, favored by 5.5 over the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick is taking Philly on the road, a 5.5-point dog. After last week,
I'm taking Kansas City.
And that ass whooping, I'm taking Kansas City with you.
Yeah.
I didn't expect them to be that good, and if they're for real, we're going to find out
real
quick.
We talked about what kind of home field Arrowhead can be.
Dude.
On top of everything else. And I know that Philly went on the road last week, but I'm taking... There's some weapons in Kansas
Wentz
City.
Look good. That's all fine and dandy. But when you see the weapon, now listen, I don't think Alex Smith is going to throw for 363 yards again. But okay. Hunt is a player. Hill is a player. And all you got to do, they're that weapon. All you got to do is get the ball in their hands, and they're going to make
plays.
But
on the flip side, let me remind you of something that you said
Kelsey.
That was very accurate.
Okay.
Which is
uh-huh.
the biggest factor in that game is no Eric Berry. Because
he,
on the backside of that defense, he controls a lot. And coming up on and stopping the run, he's big. So that's going to be interesting to see what Wentz can do with Barry out.
Okay, very good. Who you got? Tyler, you said KC?
I didn't say, but yes.
Oh, you have KC as well?
Yeah,
okay, I already had you down for KC because that's a smart pick.
Now he does that.
Yeah. All right, Dallas versus Denver.
In Dallas.
No, this is in Denver, isn't it? I'm pretty sure. Let me pull up the schedule again, but when I wrote it down, I'm pretty sure that this is in Denver.
That's gonna be a factor to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. This is... Where the hell am I? Yeah,
no,
it's in Denver. Yeah.
Okay,
that's good.
Denver.
You made me question myself, Joel, after I wrote
I like
all these
that.
Down.
That's good. Keeps you honest.
Dallas is a 1.5-point favorite on the road against that defense in the Mile High City. Who you got?
Oh, man. It's actually a tough game. I'll go Cowboys, and again, yeah, because I think there's no doubt Zeke has to play anyway, so I'll take Cowboys.
Okay, I have Dallas as well, and Nick also took the Cowboys. Tyler, who you got?
I mean, now I kind of want to take Denver
just to be the opposite.
Do it!
Yeah.
Just so you win?
I
mean, honestly, they have a really good chance to win, so, and they're at home.
Well,
if
listen.
They can get their offense moving and consistently throughout a whole game, like what they played against the Chargers, they're a first-half team. If they can play the second half against the Cowboys, then they might have a chance.
Great points. But the smart guys in Vegas, what they're telling you is we all know that every team in the NFL gets a 3-point
home field
in the spread right away. So not only did Denver give up that 3, they gave up an extra 1.5 to the Cowboys. So they think that really Denver is a 4.5-point underdog against these Cowboys.
Oh, is that how math works?
That's how math works.
Okay.
So you still are that confident in Denver?
I mean, I'm not confident.
Okay,
but
well,
I just want to be contrarian.
I was just trying to get you to change it. That's all.
Nah,
all right, and then
I'm
the last.
My gun guy.
Okay, good. Very good. Good for you. You look like a lot of those guys that drink Topo Chico stick to their guns.
You look like a gun sticker.
You look like sweater vests and sticking to your guns. Good
Never
for you.
Worn a sweater vest. Although you have, so
I do have a sweater vest, and I look damn handsome in it. Thank you very much. All right,
cute.
With skinny jeans.
Game of the century. tonight. NFL Network. I'm kind of glad I have a show. I'll be honest with you.
Wow, that's right. You got to tape it, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch it tonight. I'm going to be exhausted tomorrow.
Who are you going?
Well, slow down. We got to give the people who it is.
I think everybody knows. Houston, there's only one game on Thursday nights.
Houston on the road in the Natty.
In their Color Rush uniforms.
Is it Color Rush tonight already?
Is there any difference, hardly?
No, Texans, hell no. No, there's not. But no. Texans tweeted out that they would be wearing
which their is all color white, rush. Right? That's
no,
what they're going to be?
No, there's Cincinnati's doing the all white, I think.
It's the dark navy, all dark blue.
Which and I'm red, I'm fine with that. Trim. I don't know. Is it that's for another show? But Texans, it's time for a uniform and logo change.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. It's definitely
there are certain
time.
Teams with tradition
Sorry.
That would never think about it,
Sorry
and then there are teams that can do that.
Well, you know what? What's the tradition here? Losing?
I'm not saying
Let's
that they have
Let's make some changes.
It.
Let's make some changes.
I've been told they have it.
All right, no. Houston on the road against Cincinnati, 5.5 point underdog. Cincinnati is a home favorite, 5.5 points. A team that scored 0 points last week at home is a 5.5 point favorite now over a team that scored 7 points at home.
Look,
who you got?
I got Cincinnati.
You going Cincy, huh?
I got torched last week by taking the Texans. With a rookie quarterback. Look, I think he's got ability. I think he's also prone to make mistakes. I think Andy Dalton is an experienced veteran quarterback who's good in the regular season. Forget about the playoffs. And I think at home, you look at, as I mentioned in the past, you look at the quarterback, you look at factors that you know that really matter, coaching, etc. And a rookie quarterback, I'm gonna go Cincinnati.
So Nick took the Natty as well. He took the Bengals. Okay. Tyler, who you got?
I'm going Bengals.
You're going Bengals? All right. I'm going out on a limb here by myself, and I'm picking Houston. And I'll tell you why I'm picking Houston.
You better.
Last week, Baltimore rushed for 157 yards against that Bengals defense. Mm-hmm. You're not Joe Flacco threw for 121. They still beat the Bengals 20-0 on the road. You're not going to – Deshaun Watson isn't going to go out there and sling the ball around for 200-300 yards. But I think that they can run the ball on this team, which is what they want to do anyways with a rookie quarterback. So if the Texans
is
can
Lamar
rush –
Lamar Miller running the ball?
No, I think you're getting a healthy dose of both, Miller and Foreman. I think the Texans could put up 150 yards of rushing if they get their act together.
Just or just compared total? Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco.
No, that would not be the case.
I think he did.
I think
he did.
That's exactly what he did.
Drink some mineral water, Barry.
So of all the bashing and hate that I've done, that Bengals, a 0.7 QBR rating from Andy Dalton. The Texans defense is better than what they showed last week.
They better be.
I think they can keep him in check as well. I'm going Houston.
I don't know if you know this.
What do you think score wise? How do you see it playing out score wise?
I don't see it being high scoring.
Pick a score.
I think 17-13 Bengals.
Okay. Yeah, I would say something in that range. 17-10 Texans.
Okay.
Tyler, what you got score wise? Go. Hurry.
I'll go 14-10.
Okay.
And who wins, Tyler?
He said Cincy.
Okay. Hey, we got guys in Vegas waiting to get on the air. Make sure the Blitz takes care of John. Make sure they take care of Nick. For Tyler, for Barry, it's Joel. We'll see you tomorrow. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.